Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name's Jane Fawcett, and alongside me is Christian. I got my hair cut like Travis Wall Warren. Sarah, I have fancy dangly earrings on. Wells and Kevin Tinkin, I'm not here. So welcome to the show.
Did you write that out before?
No, I totally came up with it. That's good improv. I didn't ruin it.
That's good improv.
Thanks. What kind of haircut did he get?
She said,
like Travis Wall.
But see, nobody knows.
So You Think You Can Dance. Yeah. But I think he looks like Jeff from The Bachelor. From The Bachelor.
Yeah, Jeff 1F.
Here's the thing. All right. I have been razzed. I spent an entire week up at a camp with people that I know and that love me and I love them. No one, not a single person mentioned my hair, whether it was good or bad. It was just nothing. I come to the office and within the first 5 minutes, I get made fun of for my haircut. And Jane has been railing me all day.
I have not been railing you all day.
I have gotten made fun of probably 6 times today in the office for my haircut.
All I said was that your hair looked like Jeff from The Bachelor.
Okay.
Which I'm not saying this is how I feel about you, but Jeff is probably one of the most attractive guys on The Bachelor.
What?
I think he's so good looking.
But wow. what you're saying about my hair is like, I don't like it.
No.
Just be honest. Yes or no?
I'm saying.
You have a 50-50.
No, this is what I have to say about your hair. I like it, except the back either needs to be faded a little more.
Okay.
Or.
I think you're more going for the mullet. Let me look.
Nope. I'm not going to show you, Sarah.
Well, now I need to see.
Do you like my hair or not?
I honestly didn't notice that you got it cut. So
really?
It looks fine.
All right. Well, I got a free haircut because the hair person butchered it.
It kind of looks mohawk-y.
Looks like a hedgehog a little bit.
Gosh, we'll just call you Sonic.
All right. Anyways, welcome to the show. Jane did the intro because she cleaned my espresso machine for me while I was gone at camp with our junior high students list last week. And we got a good show for you guys today. We are going to interview Kelly Moore, who's one of our Kids Connection directors. And we are also going to talk about the sermon from this past week called He is Emmanuel. Plus, also wanted to just continue a bit of the conversation on the spray paint and that you guys, you brought up. It wasn't the whole conversation, but you did talk about it a little bit because I listened to the last week's episode.
That's what'd you think?
I honestly was very upset that Karen was on the show.
Hey, I just do my job pretty well.
Why did you upset? You did. You got Karen on the show knowing that I wasn't going to be there.
No, in spite of me. That is not true. Kelly was supposed to be on the show last week, but Kelly had to go to Hume.
Right.
So I thought, well, we got to talk about the spray painting because that's what we did. And who better to talk about it than the person who came up with the idea herself, right. Karen.
Right. Do we need to have like mediation right
now? Me and Jane are at each other's throats.
Yeah, apparently.
I'm pissed.
But Sarah.
Did you say that on the spot?
I just did.
Sarah gave us our music this week. You're now in charge of the music. So hopefully it gets a little bit better over these weeks because I do a terrible job.
Last week was pretty good.
No, last week was great. But this week is Coldplay, correct?
Yeah, it's actually my favorite songs from their latest album, Milo X Lo.
Okay.
How you say it?
I don't know how to say it. But that's today's episode. Stay tuned. We'll be back with some sermon discussion and some more talk on the tagging at the well. Stay tuned.
You see this in Scripture with other people too, not just Jesus. You see it in the Old Testament. It'd say things like the Spirit came upon this person and they did a work. You see it in the New Testament when the Spirit came on them and they preached or they healed and they did these things. So there's a there's a sense, too, that the Trinity itself then showed itself in its creation how to live perfectly. The Son looking to the Father, the Spirit looking to the Son empowered by the Spirit to give glory to the Father. It's just this beautiful relationship, and we go, we can have hope. That we don't have to try hard about just, I'm really going to give this toy soldier life today. I'm just going to, no, you don't give life. Life is given to you. Dead men and women don't raise their hands. Life is bestowed upon you. That's why the Bible says we are new creations when you put your faith in Jesus. That's why we have hope and a changed heart. The very core of who we are is changed because of Jesus coming, because of Emmanuel, God with us.
That was a clip from Jared's sermon from this past week. And not only Jared gave the sermon, we were just going over this before the show. Jared gave it at Clovis. And then PM at North, correct?
Right.
And then PJ was at the AM for North. And then Mike
Slayton
gave a sermon over at Fig as well. Mike hasn't taught, I feel like, at the well in a long time.
He is so gifted at teaching. And yeah. I think he needs, well, he can't because he's on off the front, mm-hmm. but he needs to teach. We should have him on the show.
We should have Mike on the show.
I'll talk to him.
Well, you know, I don't know why we haven't, but Jane's now in charge of getting people on the show.
This would be a good time because Off the Front is going to be starting up in the fall again at the elementary schools.
I think Mike is also giving one more sermon. I think he might be doing He is Lion. I could be wrong. Cool. So maybe we could get him on during the He is Lion week and have him stick around for the sermon discussion maybe. I don't know. That'd be cool. We haven't ever done that. Is that, would that be weird?
No, I think it's great.
If you, you know, haven't been around the well this summer, we're doing a series called He Is. And a couple things I wanted to hit on that I didn't get to touch on with you guys last week is you know, the He Is series, we were halfway through last week. And this past week was He Is Emmanuel, God with us. And then the week before was He Is Redeemer. And that is kind of when the tagging of the Well North Campus, Clovis Campus, and Fig all kind of occurred. And you guys did a good job talking with Karen about the heart behind that and why we did that and all of the above. And I just want to add my two cents in. Is that okay?
Go for it.
You're the boss.
And this is the platform to give your two cents.
Yeah, because so many people, they're listening to this. They're just waiting
here,
to know.
Here, let me put your soapbox down.
Okay. No, it's not really a soapbox. It's more just like one of the things that I was originally attracted to the well was just how different we did worship expressions. And I remember the very first time I came to the well, just I was interviewing and they said, you want to check out a service. And randomly, Jeff Doolittle was leading worship, who is
really?
Our Kingsburg campus. Yes.
I didn't even know he led worship.
Either.
Yeah,
that's
so
weird.
He was leading worship.
How funny.
That was at the AM services, I believe. And then I went to the PM services and Shara Bachman was leading worship with Adam DePartee. And they were all standing behind the big, like if you've ever been to the North Campus, it's called Faceless Worship.
Yeah.
And it was just really cool. Like, oh wow, we do worship differently at this church. And then there was a few other opportunities, over the next year that I was there that I saw different like worship expressions. And then it kind of ended with the I Am Jonah like rocks thing. Like, and I feel like since then we haven't done something in a series that just really feels like the well and very worshipful and expressive. Mm. And I love worship. I love singing worship. It's great. But like, to me, I think I experience worship more when it's hands-on. I'm a hands-on experiencer. Is that even a word?
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, it's not a word, but. I mean,
you're a kinetic learner.
Yeah, like I'm not the type of, like, if someone could stand in a classroom and tell me what to think, or if they showed me how to think, like, I would learn more if they showed me what to do instead of tell me what to do.
Yeah, me too.
So I just feel like that expression of worship is great. And I know you guys talked about it, but it's like the fact that since the last week, you know, Brad was on the news for this, and it's just become this thing where people go, oh, they are doing things differently. And that's one of the reasons why I love the well. And this series, I feel like, has brought that out. Mm-hmm. We're doing a series that me teaching twice and then third time next week, like I've had numerous people come up and say, like, that is something that I've never been taught before, or I've been taught that before, but never in that way. Mm-hmm. And I know that in our teaching team's discussions, like, and so if you are new to the well or whatever, like my hope is that we would continue to do more things like this. Would you guys be in agreement with that?
Yeah. And I thought it was cool. Brad was at North all day the day we started the tagging. And right. the way that he explained it was, we're doing one song right now, and the point isn't for you to go home. The point isn't for you to just leave from here. The point is for you to continue your worship by expressing who Jesus is to you. Mm. And to, I think when the chance that he had to explain it that way, and I don't know how it went at Clovis or Fig, but I think that really pushed a lot of people to think outside of the box, mm-hmm. because I feel like so many people are trained to think that worship is singing songs and that's it, mm-hmm. when it's so much more. And to the person who doesn't connect to God through singing a worship song, but they can connect to God through dance or through tagging a building or through art of any sort of thing, like it gives them that artistic that freedom to express their love for God in a different way.
Mm-hmm. There was a, I mean, this is back in the day, Casey would probably, or Chris Hensley would tell you, but they did a sermon on creation in Genesis 1:1, and, or it may have been a difference. I believe it was on creation, but there was a guy who was like a clay molder, like a pot molder. And he was on the stage while Mike or Brad was teaching, literally like molding a pot, like, and through the whole service as the sermons, he was doing that. And that's not necessarily worship for the people sitting in the audience, but for him, that's his expression of worship. Who's the clay molder or whatever. And it's just like, I love that people are able to use their different giftings as a way of worship. You know what I mean? And I felt like this was a really good, step in that direction of just going like, we like to change things up and we like to worship in a different way. And I feel like then coming into this next week, there was a, my wife led worship last night. And you know, it's not necessarily like the people who worshiped were any different, but like I could sense that the people coming into the building, there was a, just a different attitude. Like I did that last week, you know what I mean?
And the worship set last night was really like alive.
At the seven?
Yeah.
That's what she said.
It was, it's, and it was
Dave
crazy.
Said that I didn't, that wasn't like a joke.
No,
like,
just keep going. With it.
But Dave Johnson said the same thing, like, or, and so did Carl. Like, it's just awesome. Last
night, I think I was talking to Cam today just about, some of our services kind of having a dead worship experience of like people not participating. And I don't know if it's that they don't feel the freedom or what's the deal, but she was saying that Lacey just communicated it so beautifully of like, however you express, however you're, you want to be expressive in worship or whatever to obviously certain means, but, do it. Like, don't be afraid of what the person next to you is going to think or whatever. Like, this is your time to get along with God, and however you need to do that, do it. And I think so many people feel hindered or held back because they're worried about the person in front of them, the person behind them, the person next to them thinking something of them, when your worship is not for that person. Right. Your worship is between you and Christ. And
I think something that could change that and could shift that a little bit is doing different ways of expressing worship. You know what I mean? Like, I think that we have become so, we've almost been put in a box a little bit, and it's like, well, you only clap your hands when the worship pastor claps your hands, which is never. And, you know, you only raise your hands when the person next to you is raising your hand, because you don't want to be the only one that's raising your hand. And
you for sure don't want to be the first person to stand.
Yeah.
Back to the tagging thing. I was excited because I know that this is going to push on a lot of the boxes that people have that have, like, especially if you've been raised in a, you know, conservative type of church, because that's, you know, worship is standing and singing and sitting, and that's, you know, and that's it. And I'm excited. I hope that this started people to, like, questioning why they think the things that they think. Because I know, like, I got phone calls this week from people that don't go to this church, from, like, you know, other circles, whatever. Call, like, my mom, she called me, like, is something's going on at your church, Sarah? People are tagging the building. And I had to explain it to her, and she looked at me really confused, like, why would we do that? And then after a while, after we talked about it, she's like, oh, okay, no, I see that. I can see that.
So I don't know if you caught Brad's news thing. Did you see it?
I did.
And did you see it, Jane?
Yeah. And if people didn't see it, there's a link on our Facebook page.
Okay.
For the video.
So, yeah, I watched a video while I was up at camp this last week, and he explained kind of just that. Not necessarily to the person who thought it's weird or whatever, but he really, I felt like, did a good job of explaining this as a worshipful expression and not just, we're having a good time here at the Wells, tagging it up. Woo!
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
So if you haven't seen that, check that out. But kind of going back to, there was this vibe coming in, like, as you walked into this building, and Clovis is different because it wasn't at the front of the building, but you just see this art, you see this walking into North.
Have you seen the wall at Clovis?
Yes.
It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
But when you walk into Clovis, you don't
see
it.
I know.
And Fig was just like some plywood, you know what I mean? But there's just a sense of like, oh, like this series is really good. And I think that from a teacher standpoint, the series has been rather challenging. Just like, it's heavy, heavy, heavy material. Mm-hmm. And so Jared spoke. The sermon we all heard was Jared teaching on He is Emmanuel. And one of the points that he hit was just this sense of, obviously, Jesus came in the form of a man with us, using the Isaiah passage. What was the Isaiah passage?
Isaiah 5.
Just talking about born from Bethlehem.
Born from a Virgin Mary.
Right.
From a virgin. They didn't use her
Virgin
name.
Mary.
The Virgin Mary.
A Virgin Mary whose husband's name was Joseph. And there was no room in the inn. No, I'm just kidding. And then talking about how the way that he was with us on earth he was a servant and he served others. And I don't know how PJ and Mike talked about it, but Jared really hit that point home with being a servant. And if this is how Christ was on earth, like, how are we supposed to, how are we supposed to be like on
earth? How do we respond to that?
Yeah, how do we respond to that? And just this concept of service and servanthood. And just, we could chat about that for a little bit. I want to talk about the tagging first. Sorry, guys. I didn't get a chance to get my two cents in.
That's good. You got it.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you were to live your life serving other people, in my opinion, like, it would be the most fulfilling life in the whole wide world, right? But why can't we as human beings, like, do that? Why is it so difficult to serve people when
it's easier to serve yourself?
Right.
And I mean, that doesn't make it right, obviously, but it's just, that's our nature, is to serve ourselves, is not to serve others. And I was thinking about that. What if, like, for every day this week, like, we, you know, a group of people or even people at the office, like, woke up and said, okay, Lord, I'm going to only put others before me. Like, that is going to be my sole intention today and tomorrow. Like, what would that look like? Like, that would be radical. It'd be a different, like, frame of mind, at least for me. Like, no, you go first. Oh, no, you, like, let me get that coffee for you or something. Like, because it's just not natural. You just go about, get your coffee, make your copies, you know, and I don't think to serve somebody else while I'm doing my daily duties, you know?
Right.
But if we intentionally did that, I wonder what that would look like.
Good resource, Sarah.
Hey.
That's awesome.
Well, right now, have you guys ever heard of that? This is embarrassing, but I'll share it, okay? Have you guys ever heard of the movie Fireproof?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a dorky movie, okay?
It's not embarrassing. It's just a little cheesy.
Okay, so something that came out of those movies was this thing called, like, Love Dares. Have you heard of these things? It's embarrassing. But I came across these things because me, naturally, to serve other people, I think that, you know, if you've ever heard of the five love languages or whatever, I like being served, but I don't necessarily know if, like, I'm the biggest servant. I think I am in some senses, but I think it's sometimes just hard for me, especially in my own marriage. And so I was like, I need to gain some momentum in this. You know what I mean? And so I did some research. I found these love dares. And it's funny because it's 40 days of, like, how do you serve your wife? You know what I mean? And they're corny, but I'm telling you, like, being a servant to someone, whether it's your wife or not, and what these 40 things are, 40 different ways to serve your wife, essentially. It's been one of the best things that me and Lacey have done. Like, she's not doing it for me, but I'm serving her. And, like, it's corny things. Like,
did you bring her Froyo? Was that one of them?
One of them was do something out of the ordinary. And so I bought her a $15 gift card to.
I saw her. She Instagrammed you brought her, like,
Frozen
Yogurt. Yo Diggity. No, not Yo Diggity.
Tutti Frutti.
Tutti Frutti, yeah. I'm sure it was. Like, there's been some things where it's like, I would not normally do this, but I think it's this, like, you have this example of Christ as this servant who's with these people on earth, serving them, and his whole ministry is just serving other people. If you were to break it down, that's what he's doing, serving other people, and that's how he walked with us. And then, but we as sinners born in sin, like, we have to use iPhone apps to help us serve other people because we are incapable of doing that. And it's just one of those things where it's like this perfect example is set, and yet, like, I still struggle with it. And it's one of those things where I feel like for me, if I can have this repetition of 40 days of just practicing these things, then I feel like it's going to become more of my human nature to serve. Mm-hmm. But without this, remove it, it's like I just am, it's all about me, you know?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we did a thing in, Sarah and I did a thing in our life group where you do a little survey of how you, like, what is it? What
it's called, style of, how you naturally worship the Lord. Like, okay, whether it be through music or relationship or
And like where you feel closest, like what method stirs your affections. Makes you. Yeah. Good job.
That was a transformation word.
But mine is, my highest one was serving people. And I'm not trying to say this to toot my own horn or like do any, cause you guys just both said,
Dave, on the sound effects, can you do a toot sound on the, all right.
It also said that her other highest one was an activist, which we think was wrong.
I am absolutely not an activist.
That's beside the point.
Anyways, I love serving people, and I feel like it is something that, like, really energizes me when I can, like, find something that Sarah needs and I can do that for her because she can't, or I can.
Providing meals for people is a huge one for
or
you.
Just things like that. I love doing that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
I'm just kidding. No, Jane,
I would guess that one of your spiritual gifts is hospitality too.
Yeah.
Like when, like, you just want people to feel comfortable and wherever you are. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where your heart of servant could come from.
And I like to do it because I feel, obviously it like helps a person out or makes them feel special or whatever. But honestly, I feel like the Lord's given me certain gifts and I love using those to help people or to pick up where they can't or whatever. It's something that I feel a lot. I feel the Lord a lot through doing those sorts of things. So,
you know, what's funny is, like, I feel like we are all, as human beings or as Christians, we're called to be like Christ. Mm-hmm. And I honestly believe this. I feel like for some people, I think they have different struggles, but if we were to say, like, this is a picture of Christ, for Jane in the service area, it's easier for her to be like Christ in that area, whereas for other people, it's more difficult. But for Jane in a different area that, like, I feel like Christ was an activist, so I guess you're really good in that too, Jane.
I don't know where that came from.
But it's just saying, like, I think that if this is how Christ lived on earth and, like, different people have different talents and different gifts and all of the above with the Holy Spirit, I feel like that service comes easier to you, but for other people, it doesn't come as easy. And so it's like, I think Jared's point was, it's like, if we're supposed to live like Christ, we need to be a servant in everything we do. Yeah. And whether it comes naturally to us or not, like, that doesn't give us the excuse, well, I served a lot of people this week, so I'm good for next week. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, in everything we do, let's live like Christ, who was with us and who served other people. And I worked at this camp, Camp Hammer, for a long time that I was just up at over the year. And one of the best things we did all summer was, I was a counselor, and the program staff, I think it's very similar at Hume. The program staff's, their main objective is to serve the counseling staff.
Yeah.
Everything that they do is to make sure the counseling staff has what they need so they can accomplish their task. And the beginning of the summer, the program staff takes all the counselors and they wash their feet. And it's just like, we are here to serve you. And I feel like that attitude, if it could only be translated over into life outside of camp, you know what I mean, would be a huge asset to people, I think, who want to learn how to become more like Christ. So,
and then it's kind of like, I feel like Dale is a great example at this as a boss of serving his staff.
Mm-hmm.
He is totally there for each one of you directors.
Dale is my boss.
Right. And he's the campus support director. So even like looking at that of how can you serve Jeremiah or Cambria or Parker or Daly or whatever, like what's something you could do to help them out? And coming from their director, their boss, that would be huge for them, you know? And
are you saying something here, Jane?
No,
you call
I'm
me
not.
Out? I'm just kidding.
I cannot win in this segment.
I'm kidding. No, I'm just making jokes. I'm filling in for Kevin, who's not here.
Oh, right. Good. Good job, Kevin.
And I think when our mindset is about serving other people, it's far less stressful and exhausting for us, at least for me. Like when I'm like thinking, like intentionally putting others first, I'm not worried about I'm stressed out or what am I thinking about this? What do I do now? What do I do now? Like it's just not even a concern. You're just concerned about the person in front of you or the person that you're with. And it's so much easier. Mm. Like, it's less stressful because when you are the center of your universe, you're thinking about everything and whatever.
Yeah. And so to see how blessed you can be in that process is really cool too.
Yeah.
Well, good discussion. I know we talked about two different things, but if you haven't heard the sermon from this last week or haven't heard any of these sermons, I feel like this is a good package deal. Kind of listen to all of them. And we got two more sermons in the He Is series. He is Lamb this Sunday and He is Lion the following Sunday. And I'm teaching next week, guys, so you can pray for me, okay? And
So are you going to be a part of this sermon discussion?
We'll see. If Andrew can get here, maybe we'll have him in here.
Okay.
But yeah, and up next, we're going to have an interview with Kelly Moore, and we will be back with that. Enjoy some more Coldplay. All right, we are back, and we are here with Kelly Moore. Kelly, how are you?
Wonderful, thanks.
Kelly, this is your first time on this Spoutcast,
it is,
correct?
Yeah.
Okay, I feel like we've been asking you for the last 2 months.
Yeah, and it's been a long time.
I think that the gods of the podcast have not wanted you in here.
Until now.
You're going to be shut
perfect
down.
Timing.
No, she had prior commitments.
Yeah. I did.
Both
jury duty.
Times. And then you went to Hume Lake to visit.
Yes,
your
kids at Wagon Train.
Right.
Yes.
Like, you were almost becoming the new Dave Sather, where I would write up, essentially we do these write-ups for the podcast. And so I'll write up the podcast, like, here's what today's episode is. And I probably wrote your name down 3 or 4 times, sent it to Janie to edit it. And then like, oh, Kelly's not coming. So it's kind of the Dave Sather of the podcast, but you're here.
Yeah, I'm here now.
So
kinda like Christmas.
It is Christmas. Yeah, this is a gift. So last week you were at Wagon Train with your students. How was that?
It was so much fun. We love going up there and just seeing the leaders and seeing the way they get to build that relationship for those kids for that week. And then they get to come back. And a lot of them are leaders already in Kids Connection. So they get to do life groups with them on a week-to-week basis. But they have that week where they're not with their parents and they get to literally just be with them.
Yeah.
Were you a counselor or did you just
We just went up for the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who don't know what Wagon Train is, it's like a Kids Connection. They send their kids up to Hume Lake for their elementary school camp.
Yes.
And your job at the Well is what?
I am early childhood director at the Well. So all 3 campuses, directing nursery through 5-year-olds.
Nursery meaning like
babies.
Babies, 0 to 5.
0 to 5. Yeah.
So what are the class names here at the Well? Because every church is different. We've got walkers.
We've got, it starts with nursery. So nursery.
Nursery, walkers, which is what?
nursery is like zero until they're walking. So as soon as parents want to drop them off until they're walking.
Okay.
And then walkers is from when the time they start walking until they turn two. Okay. Morning services are a little different. We have an early twos class and an older twos class.
There's
a lot of 2 year olds, and that is a really big age difference. So mm-hmm. in being able to like sit and listen and not mm-hmm. being able to sit and listen. So they kind of, it's that like a transitional class mm-hmm. before they go to preschool. So,
I'm assuming these kids didn't go to wagon train though.
These kids did not go to wagon train. No, their parents did not just drop them off for a week. Not yet.
You like to be potty trained to go to wagon
train. Okay,
all right, you have to be like in the fourth grade.
See, I think that would be a funny way of
it's age 8 to 11.
It is 8 to 11.
Yeah. I think that would be a funny way of like differentiating instead of like walkers and kids. It's like potty trained, not potty trained.
Well, and like, potty trained is like an iffy thing. You can be potty trained at 2 and you can be potty trained at 4. So we kind of
like the whole
too,
like
but...
breastfeeding debacle these days, you know, that'd be weird.
Yeah,
if we
yeah.
Did...
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Go there, Christian.
You know about the breastfeeding debacle, huh? Uh-huh. I was driving behind a car that said, make the right choice. Breastfeed your child.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a
but
statement.
I think that's the question. Yeah. So you guys separate by not whether they can use the bathroom or not, but more if they can walk or not.
Yes.
And then after 2 or 3, then that's 3 and 3 to 5.
We have a 3s class and a 4s and 5s class. So
gotcha.
4s and 5s class.
I just feel like that'd be a zoo because 4 and 5 is when you're starting to get a lot of energy and you want to run around.
Yeah, it can be. It definitely can be. It depends on your like class. Like the 5 p.m. had just boys for the longest time in 4s and 5s, and that every week they were like, yeah, it was, I mean, really high energy and a little bit overwhelming. And I'm like, you guys are doing great. Thanks for being here.
Using good words, high energy,
right,
but really
right.
They're pulling their hair.
These kids are being nuts.
Yeah.
So your role is essentially to encourage leaders throughout the services. You are not necessarily teaching in a classroom, or you are when it needs to be filled in, or...
Yeah, all of the above. We have a team, so there's a coordinator on each campus that does early childhood. So there's Fig, Clovis, North AM, and North PM.
Okay.
So there's 4 people on my team, 4 gals on my team that go and coordinate them. And my biggest job is to support them. Mm-hmm. So, and that looks like supporting their leaders and, you know, I do a lot of curriculum editing and supply shopping and whatnot. But I have for a while taught, and I started teaching Kids Connection. So before I was even hired in Kids Connection, I was teaching in Kids Connection. So, and yeah, there's a lot of Sundays and Wednesdays that I am teaching. So
whenever the gaps need to be filled in.
And Kelly, you're also going to school for this too, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, let's chat about that.
Yeah, I am attending Bethel Seminary, working towards my master's in children and family ministries.
You have the highest education out of all of us in here.
I haven't gotten it yet.
But
I'm working towards it.
So how long have you been in seminary?
For a year.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Bethel is down south. No.
Bethel is in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Right. There's one in Reading.
There is. No.
Wait, what'd you say?
Is it the same as the one in Reading?
Mm-mm.
So you are flying to Minnesota every once in a while or what?
Yes. Oh. Yeah. It's for the most part online.
Okay.
And then for a week in the fall and a week in the spring, I go to Minnesota and have intensives courses. So literally in class from 8:30 to 6:30. I mean, obviously with breaks, but yeah.
How's that?
It's intense, but probably my favorite part because I get to go with all the people that I'm learning with online. So there's, mm-hmm. I think like 15 of us in our children and family program.
Yeah.
And we get to go in and just like, it sounds like we're just hanging out. I mean, we're not. We're in class or whatever.
Yeah.
But we get to process with people who are in the same courses we are. So I can come back here and I can process with anybody. But it's a lot different when you're in learning the same thing and then you're getting to apply it in your ministry. And those ministries all look different. But
so all the people that you have online classes with, you also have a live class with.
Yes.
So they're from all over the place.
Yes, all over the place.
I did all my college education pretty much online. And like, we would have to like write these write-ups and then part of your grade was you'd have to like comment on
respond.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have to do this?
We still do that. And that is actually like one of the biggest benefits of going and meeting everyone is that you learn to like read it how they're talking. And so it makes it so much more exciting to interact because you're like, oh yeah, that's
like,
so-and-so and they're, that's
so
how they're
saying
it. Like you just know how they're
Because you
writing.
Interact
so,
with these
yes.
people. See,
yeah.
if you don't ever interact with these people,
it's
like, this
really
is a waste
awkward.
Of time.
Yeah.
So all I would ever say was like, good work, man.
Yeah.
Period.
Aw, you are that guy.
Well, I was like, I don't know these people, and yeah. I just wanted to get a good grade. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that's how it was in the beginning. And then you could just, like, if you compared them to, like, before we met and then after we met, you can just see, like, the difference in that's that we know cool. each other.
So outside of the well, mm-hmm. You what do you like to do, Kelly?
I love to read.
Okay.
I didn't know that about you.
Oh, gosh, yes. I love to read. It's kind of faded the past year being in seminary. There's a lot of reading we do.
Do you have a Kindle?
I don't. No, oof. I'm kind of a...
You're like a book person?
I am kind of a book person, yeah.
So do you use our Fresno Public Library?
I do.
That's a great library.
I love the library.
Yeah. Yes. I used it. I started using it when I was in when I was at Fresno State getting my bachelor's, and nice. We had to do lots of like kid books, whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wasn't going to buy a whole bunch.
What was your
so.
Major at Fresno State?
Liberal Studies.
Oh.
Yeah.
When did you graduate from there?
2010.
We were there at the same time.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
What's cool about the Fresno Library is my wife and I live right next to the Pinedale Library, which is also connected. So we don't rent books from the Fresno Library, but we'll return them there.
Yeah.
So it's amazing because we never have late fees. So everything's
on time.
That is really
cool. I did not know that they were connected.
They totally
Where
are. But
is the Pinedale Library?
It's right next to Pinedale Middle School. And it's like, it's literally the size of this studio, which nobody would know the size of the studio, but it's the size of like a small bathroom.
Wait,
and
so how do you know
this is not a bathroom?
Yeah. Man, there could be a really nice bathtub in here.
Yeah.
A stand-up shower.
But we found out one day that we could return our books to the Pinedale Library, but we still have to rent from the regular one.
So you never have late fees because it's so close to your house?
And we never forget. Or we forget, we always go, oh, we got to return it. And then it's like 2 feet away that we can just...
Huh.
Oh.
Because it's like a 10-15 minute drive for us to get from our house to the library.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, what are some books that you enjoy?
One of my favorite authors is Karen Kingsbury, and she has a whole
R.L. Stein
series.
Goosebumps.
Oh,
no.
Goosebumps.
Did you ever read Goosebumps?
No.
Right.
Did you
Sorry.
Did you read the American Girl series?
Yes.
Who was your favorite?
Molly.
You look like you'd be a Molly.
I am a Molly. I don't know what a Molly person looks like, but
who's
I am
the girl
Kirsten's
who,
my favorite.
Who has hair like you? Samantha.
Samantha. Yes.
You look like Samantha a little bit.
Oh, I was definitely a Molly girl.
My favorite was Molly.
So wait,
also.
What are the series you're into now? Sorry I interrupted.
Now I honestly have not been doing a ton of reading. I am currently reading Wes Stafford's new book, Just a Minute, and I love Wes Stafford, so that's been fun. So
I don't even know who that is either.
Wes Stafford is the president and I think CEO of Compassion International.
Jeez.
Oh, cool.
He's a big guy.
So you like read like good stuff too.
Yeah. I do. Yeah, not just like stupid random
so
series.
So you're not reading like that new like controversial romance novel that Brad posted
Shades
about?
Yeah, definitely not reading that.
Oh, okay.
No.
That's good.
Are you reading that?
I don't read.
Okay.
I read like In Style magazine.
Okay.
That was your New Year's resolution was to read. And
yeah.
Read,
how's that going?
I never finished Tebow's book.
And you read...
I never finished that either.
So it's not going that well.
Yeah,
I started
Josh Reebok's book.
Yeah, and the gal who cooks.
Oh, I kind of finished that one.
Pioneer Woman. I know who that is.
Yeah.
She taught me how to make these little, like, I've only done it once, but.
She taught you?
I was just going to say, like I said, taught me. Like, she was in my kitchen and she.
Well, she had her television show for a while.
Oh, I love her television show.
So, like, you take a piece of bread and you cut out a circle in the bread. Well, first you put butter on the bread and you, like, toast the bread. Cut out a circle in the bread and then you put an egg inside of it.
Oh.
Wow.
And then you cook it and you flip it.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, a bullseye.
Yeah. It's kind of like she called it just like an eggy or something like that.
And like, you know, if I could be anyone, she'd be one of the top. I'd love to have
her if I could be anybody, she'd be my top five.
I think there's one other person that I'd want to be too, but
so,
Julia Child.
Do you read blogs or anything like that?
Yeah. I do. I follow the Pioneer Woman's blog. Okay. There's a couple other blogs that I follow.
And then outside of reading, you just go to work, do seminary, read.
Yeah.
And
love to hang out with friends.
Okay.
You live with some pretty cool people.
I do live with some pretty cool people.
Kelly and I hang out.
Now,
we
do. Think,
Jane and, yeah.
Do
we went
that,
to Aptos together.
Oh, really?
And,
oh, yeah, with
and Kelly
Renee.
Goes to Josh Martin's football games.
I do.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're the football crew.
We are. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now that you're on the show, do you think that you'll tell some friends about the Spoutcast?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Have you listened?
Uh-huh.
Oh, great.
Yeah. That was a,
I did when, oh my gosh, I don't remember her name. Megan Jade. Thank you. I listened for a while when she was on, and then I haven't been listening a ton, but I have listened.
You could tell that was I maybe listened to half an episode.
Oh, no. Whoa.
Come on, Kelly.
She's
whoa,
Christian.
Or that it's was been like once Jane four came or five. On, I stopped listening. So.
That's more what right. I heard.
Oh, we got an email this last week from somebody that said.
No, read it at the end.
Well,
read it at the end. Christian, no.
Okay.
I think he just barked at us.
Seriously.
Email now.
I really want to know what the
Jane
email says.
She has routines.
Well, you're going to have to listen to the rest of the episode then, Kelly.
Definitely
now,
will.
One last thing before we go. I know that Kids Connection is always in need of volunteers.
Always.
And we got a small audience that listens to us, but.
Christian, give us some credit.
We got a pretty big. Huge. Audience that listens.
Hooch, man.
Did you, if somebody was interested in maybe volunteering with,
Kids
walkers,
connection.
3 to 5, yeah. All of the above. What would you tell them? How would you encourage them to maybe want to get involved?
Yeah, I would definitely tell them to either fill out an info card on Sunday mornings or to go to the website. And there's lots of different, you can do a general contact form or you can find the Kids Connection page and do I'm interested.
And if I was a volunteer for the pre-potty trained students, what would I do?
You would get to love on some of the sweetest kids and encourage families. Most families that are pre-potty are nursery and walkers. So, and that's a really scary thing for, especially if it's the first child, to drop off a child with somebody you don't know. You've never met this volunteer before. So just to be that familiar face every week that parents know, that person is going to love on my child. That person is going to.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Just love them and support them and be there for the family.
So Kids Connection on our website, sign up and volunteer. If you don't know Kelly, she's kind of at all the campuses, right?
All of them.
And technically Levi File, he is in the Kids Connection for the...
He's in our early childhood.
He would be the nursery.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Levi is Andrew File's son, and Andrew is our producer.
He's our producer. Oh, he tells us all the lame stuff we do on the show. So Hey, Kelly, thanks for being here. Glad we got
problem.
You on the show.
Thanks for having
Wasn't too bad,
this
right?
This was fun.
Okay, good. All right. Up next, we'll have some announcements, and I'll read the email that Jane so adamantly told me not to read right
Christian,
now.
Christian,
All right, enjoy some more Coldplay. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, we are back, and we're going to close out the show here, but Andrew Corray was in studio and just hanging out, so we decided to bring him in here. Andrew, how's it going?
Great, how are you?
Israel, good times?
It was amazing.
Yeah?
It was incredible.
I feel like I went with, Brad and all them, but I feel like this would have been a good trip.
Yeah.
That's what everyone awesome. Says.
You guys had a good time, so...
I had a great time.
Yeah.
Did you?
Andrew, I had this idea...
We FaceTimed.
And I'm telling
you, we FaceTime.
Oh, yeah. FaceTime for some weird reason.
Wi-Fi on our bus.
Yeah. FaceTime for some weird reason works works perfectly in Israel. I never had a problem with it.
I don't know.
Yeah, I never had a problem.
Hey, since Andrew's here, I thought this would be funny because we were thinking about Andrew leads worship and student ministries. In case you guys didn't know that, he's pretty awesome. Andrew, we were thinking hey, when we do our winter retreats, we want Andrew and his team to come and lead worship for our winter retreats. Haven't talked to you about this yet.
Yeah.
But we thought it'd be funny. We thought it'd be funny instead of saying Andrew Corray is leading worship, like to give you guys like a name, but like nobody knows who you are. It's like a mystery band, but like it's just you guys.
All right.
And I thought it'd be funny like to think of some like funny name.
Like right now?
No, but if you're listening to Spout and you came up with a name, that'd be funny.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
To email us in or whatever. But I don't know. What do you think about that idea?
Yeah, let's do it.
Not something crazy, but I think it'd be funny. Anyways.
If my name happens to be in the name of the band, I'm okay.
AJC, the band.
AJC, the band.
AJC.
We got an email this past week.
He's moving on. We've moved on past the band thing.
He's done.
Our loyal fan.
Danny.
Danny Pernice. I'll never get it right.
He's a loyal fan, right?
Yeah, he doesn't even know his name.
He shouldn't learn his name.
He was just saying, essentially, he was just saying like, hey, I really miss the one and wise, and he really
yes,
misses.
Thank you,
Danny.
He misses Germany or Florida.
As do we.
No, don't miss Germany or Florida. Well, we miss the new segment with the games, so we're bringing those back, Danny.
He says,
"If it's the last thing I do."
You know, there was a reason those segments went away, but I, for one, think it's time for a comeback.
Yep.
But he
don't
did,
call it a comeback.
He did give us a one and why that I thought would be fun
oh
for this
gosh.
Season.
Wait, right now?
Yeah, let's just do it right
let's
now.
Let's do it.
What is your favorite Summer Olympic game?
Oh, all of them.
Sorry.
So, Andrew, do you want to be in on this?
Let's go
quickly, though. Danny's is tennis. I used to play a lot in high school, and I love the drama of it all. But for me, I love... Okay, this is going to come across. Let's go a little weird. I am really into gymnastics, specifically... The girl gymnastics.
Which tumbling. Part, though? The floor routines? Or
I am way more into the bars.
Okay.
The the uneven bars. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is, but there's something about it, like during the trials even, when a girl falls like flat on her face, I'm like, that was amazing.
Wait, is that why you like it?
Oh, man. Watch the trials. If you could see some clips from the Olympic trials, a girl... Like Nastia Luchin or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She didn't make the games this year. I mean, she fell
hard. She was in
it
last year, though.
And me and Lacey just died laughing. I love the gymnastics, specifically the women. And here's the thing. The men don't fall as much as the women do. So it's funny.
They're more athletic.
But yeah.
I guess.
That's my reason, all right?
Because their muscles are bigger.
James?
Yeah. No, Andrew, go
Andrew,
next.
One
okay.
Why.
This is going to be weird. But okay, I don't even know the name of it. What's the one where it's Winter Olympics? Where
we're talking Summer Olympics.
No, but I really want these are really
curling.
My favorites though.
Curling.
Yeah, that is awesome.
It's ridiculous, and I laugh every time. But I find myself going,
come on,
stop, and then they do such a good job, and I cheer.
Yeah.
And then I make fun of myself.
The only thing about curling, though, is it's on at like 2 a.m. in the morning on like MSNBC, and you're like, this would be awesome if it was prime time. You know?
When I lived at... I'm sorry, go.
Yeah, it's still my turn.
You can exit the studio.
All right, yeah. Okay, bye.
Keep going, Andrew.
This is going to be lame, but I love basketball.
Yeah.
Because... USA basketball just slaughters
Jones.
Everyone. They just beat like
a basketball Jones.
Somebody Dominican Republic by like 70 points.
Yeah.
The night. It was
what's cool
ridiculous.
Though is whenever the games do get kind of close, you always think, could the USA lose? But they never end up losing.
They never lose.
All right,
never.
Jane, what's your one and why?
Wait, my story first. When I lived at Hume, there's a ice rink there. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how awesome would it be if we got one of those curling things, the whole set. And then we looked them up online and they have to be shipped. They are expensive
like thousands
to ship because it's like a huge piece of granite that you and super heavy. Okay. So my one and why, I really have no idea what events go on at the Olympics.
Okay.
What?
What the heck?
So I think that they have a baseball team, right?
No. They have women's softball.
Don't they do baseball? Yeah.
They have women's softball.
Someone told me that Jason Donald played baseball for the Olympics.
I don't. No. Maybe I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
Move on.
Just say archery.
Oh, no. There's so many options. Just choose a sport.
You pick the one sport that's not in the Olympics. But I could be
to
wrong.
Do with running.
I don't like... I liked going to Buchanan's track meet.
You're going to watch the events this year, and you're going to get into it. I see it happening.
And Sarah and I are going to be there.
I really don't know what happens at the Olympics. I know that there's like...
So many things. If
Sarah, what is your one and why? Redeem this spoutcast.
No, I didn't.
She hasn't said it yet.
Well, I said all of them. But first of all, the opening ceremonies.
I like those.
I get teary-eyed every time because every country is in one room, and it's just a beautiful thing because they're not fighting and it's all peaceful. Okay. That, and then it is a tie between, I do enjoy Girls Olympics, the floor routines.
Girls Olympics. I just like the girls in the Olympics.
Yeah. No, girls gymnastics floor routines because they are so like, they can do so many flips in the air and whatever. And then also synchronized diving.
Oh, my gosh. See. I would say that too.
Synchronized diving.
I like the diving.
It's amazing. It's like they're mirrors and they move.
Jane, they
and they make such
the
a little splash.
Absolutely.
Wait, don't they have synchronized baseball?
Yeah, I think.
My gosh. Hey, remember what I said? Get out of here.
All right, so. Before the kind of break, Jane was getting upset at me because I was about to read this email. But at the bottom of his email, this is how I read the email, but he clears it up. But I read the email like this. He says, one last thing. Last week's spout out makes me think about how much I miss Megan Jade. I'm just saying, you guys should have her back because Jane's no good. But then he doesn't say that. He says, that's not what he says. But
I'm just kidding.
He says, how much I miss Megan Jade. No offense, Jane. I love you. I'm just saying you guys should have her on as a guest. Have a great week.
She lives in Camarillo, Danny. What do you want me to do?
I just want
I can move away and be replaced. Okay, Danny? Is that what you want?
Jane, you are.
How are you replacing?
Well,
I know. Is that what you want? What if you lie, I do for you.
Hey, if you haven't checked out our Instagram, check it out. If you have an Instagram, get add the Spoutcast or facebook.com/spoutcast, or you could email us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com, and maybe we'll bring back One and Wise every once in a while, Danny, just for you. Andrew, thanks for stopping by for a second.
Thanks for having me.
This is The Spout.
And we're out.
See you next week, Dave. Drop.